Let's continue our teaching on how to pray for a nation. Now, you know, something happened today. A brother called me and we spoke. I realized that what we have been preaching the last 3 weeks, that's last week, the week before, and the week before that, especially when we're talking about a plowman of hope up till now, please take it very seriously. Listen to the messages again. You know the interesting part? When the brother and I were speaking, he used exactly the same words I used last week. He said, hey, let's be careful that this blessing that God is giving us is not a curse, that we don't turn it into a curse in our lives. Very important. And after he and I spoke, I said, look, I need to emphasize it again. Please go and listen to those messages. All right? Plowman of Hope and all the ones we preached until last week. That would be like a total of three from Plowman of Hope. The one after that and the one after that in this hour, How to Pray for a Nation series. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you're happy and you know it, say amen once again.
Amen.
All right, let's open our Bibles. We'll start from where we stopped last time, talking about how to pray for a nation. Let's start from the book of Luke chapter 10. I'm going to try and avoid repeating the things I've said many times. I want to emphasize something again, even though I've said it many times. And that is the fact that if God wants to do something, He actually wants us to ask Him to do it. That's why I ended last week when I began to talk about the fact that if God gives us a vision, we should take that vision and pray about it. That's the primary thing. And the reason why I was emphasizing that, let's go over it again. We can't say it enough. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth He has given to us, the children of men, the sons of men. What that simply means is that what we don't permit on the earth will not be permitted. Do you understand that? That's number one. And number two, it also means that what we want to happen on the earth, we have to give authority, we have to give power, all right, for the execution of that thing. There are two ways by which we permit things on the earth. There are two ways. One, which is one people are more accustomed, all right, to, is that we ask God about it, or we speak words about those things. Now, that one also has two sides, which I just mentioned. One, we ask God. Two, we speak words. So what we declare controls the things that happen on this earth. And secondly, what we ask God for also is very important in what happens on the earth. So that's one way by which we control what happens on the earth. Secondly, this is the one a lot of people don't understand, which is just as powerful. The second way by which we control the things that occur on the earth is by how we behave. That is the second way by which we control the things that happen on the earth. How did I say?
How we behave.
This will sound funny. You'll be surprised if you look in the realm of the spirit. Let's assume, you know, I keep on saying this on Judgment Day, all right? There's one I see all the time. You say, why is the pastor preaching to collect money? He should be flogged. God says, it's true. So I have 100 strokes of the cane for him for lying to collect money. Then the day he wants to share the 100 strokes, he takes 85 and gives to a man who has never preached. And you say, why? He said, because he's the major reason why that man was so broke. I don't know whether you get that. That he began to lie, because give me food that is convenient for me, otherwise I will be poor and do what? And what?
Steal.
All right. He said, if I'm too poor, I will do what? I will steal. So if God commissions you, that ensure that man is not poor. So if the man is so poor, he steals directly because of his poverty. Then you that withheld the money that was due to him, and he that stole, both of you are guilty of stealing. That's how God judges. All right. Now, so I want to, that principle, I believe we already understand it. So let me carry it to another extent. Do you know, one day we'll get to heaven also, now assuming this happened, I don't know whether it will happen like this, or they will, let's say some people get to hellfire. Judgment in hellfire, I don't know how it is, I only know the heaven one. The hellfire one, let's assume we'll get to hellfire. What's the name of that lead bomber in Nigeria? Shekau something, Shekau. What's the first name? Abubakar Shekau. So it's okay. For all the bomb blasts that went off in Nigeria, want to start burning people with fire. So we are going to burn. We have 100 burning to do for each bomb. So all of us say, good, they don't catch a cow. He's in trouble now. I won't catch a cow. You're dead. We are going to burn you. 100 bunnies. Senator Ajanle Koko, come forward. So that one comes forward. Excuse me. Did you call my name? Yes. Burn him 50 times. Shekau burn him 5 times. Why? Because he ignited the bomb. But the people that created the spiritual environment that ensured that bombing was easy or bombing was attracted, give them 50 bunnies each. That's the reason I'm saying this. You'll be surprised when God wants to hold people responsible for burning. All the corrupt politicians, government officials, local government workers, civil servants, church workers, pastors, they get the judgment. He said, why? He said, because what you saw in explosions, all right, was a result of the atmosphere of corruption you guys created. That guy was just a trigger. That's why I'm giving him 5 levels of burning, while the rest of you, I'm spooking you 95 times. Do you know we hardly think about this? He said, okay, one young man, or one man took his wife and his children in America, shot them, shot himself, then set the house on fire. Oh, no. Which one did he do first? Okay, set the house on fire first before shooting himself. Because I was wondering how a dead man... you know? So they said, all right, what's going to happen? We are going to judge him and judge all those mass murderers in America. How many bunnies? 100. You know, this bunny now like strokes of cane. All right. So say, okay, 100. Fine. All right. So call them out. Barack Obama, 16. Hillary Clinton, 25. Why? He said, you guys don't realize it. Every time you pushed for sexual immorality, you empowered suicide, the mass murderer. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That you think the mass murderer is a wicked soul, but who created the atmosphere in which he thrived? All those of you who said sexual immorality is good. Listen, the way God judges, you'll be surprised too. That is when you want to pray. You kneel down, Father, in Jesus' name, have mercy. Have mercy upon me. Everything that I did, I like the way the Anglicans prayed. The sins of omission and the sins of commission. All of them. I like the way that, there's another one, Anglicans, the things we did and the things we were supposed to do that we did not do. Very important attitude in prayer. So, this is what I'm making. That's why, again, that's why we don't just go to God and be pleading our works. I have done this, you will do this one. God said, you don't know the things that you have not done. Very, very important. And that's why we Christians, we need the power of the blood of Jesus working our lives all the time. Otherwise, we will be held accountable for many things that we do not even realize we participated in. I dare to say a lot of the problems in Nigeria is caused by all the people that shout, divide it, divide it. You see, these things are spiritual. You can be saying it in the corner in your homes. It's being packed together and used to cause, they use those words to cause problems in National Assembly. You are then in your village, you say, we must divide it. Those words go out into the air, and then the angels come, they gather it, the demons come, gather those words, and then go to National Assembly and scatter those things in that place. And your words, 600 kilometers away from there, is causing disagreement between APC and PDP, and you don't realize it. Because you have a dissenting spirit, an angry spirit. You are angry, you know. You are just angry with everybody. And you sit down, you are shouting, divide it, divide it, divide it. As you are saying divide it, PDP doesn't understand why they can't agree. They wake up one day, half of them will come to APC. Then they get to APC, your words are still resounding. Divide it, divide it. They go there, divide again, half goes back to PDP. Just see confusion. What's the cause of confusion? You think it's because they are wicked. I'm not saying they are not wicked. But I'm saying that many of us are responsible for empowering the wickedness. There are many people who are wicked in their hearts, but they can't manifest. Do you know that? You know, that chair you are sitting on, if we decide to check the amount of bacteria inside, you know, go sit down. You won't sit on it. In fact, who's talking about the chair? Your shirt. The shirt you are wearing. If we start counting the amount of bacteria inside, you won't like it. You won't wear it again. But doesn't matter really. You don't care. Why? They can't do anything to you. As long as humanity is intact. You know the immunity of this country? You know the immune cells of this country? If you know, you say amen.
Amen.
So who is it?
Us.
Thank you. I like the way some people said us, some said Christians. I like the us part of it. You tap yourself. Me. Say it.
Me.
Me? Yes. So as long as you are strong, I know there are bacteria out there, but a lot of them can't manifest. Why? Because you are intact. That's why Jesus called you what? The salt. If Jesus was teaching medical students, he would have said that you are the T cells of the earth, the lymphocytes of the... I'm telling you. Well, because he was teaching common people, he used something they all understood. He said, you are the salt of the earth. If he had given that lecture to a group of medical students, he would have told them that, now, let me show you the antibodies of the earth. All of you put up your hands. You are the antibodies of the earth. You are the T lymphocytes of the earth. You are the... Okay, let me tell you one. A lot of people will know. You are the leukocytes of the earth. You are white blood cells of the earth. You are responsible for the immunity of the environment. So what am I going to explain? So two ways by which we decide what goes on the earth. Number one, by our words and our prayers. And number two, by how we behave. Especially those of us who are Christians. Very important. We must never forget that. So we've been explaining that principle. And you see, that's one thing about prayer. Getting the right thoughts in mind. Prayer is not that I wake up every morning and I pray. Or I kneel down beside my bed every night before I go to sleep and I pray. A lot of those things is pure religion. It's just the way you were brought up. In the morning, have you had your quiet time? A lot of people, during their quiet time, their minds are not quiet. Physically, they are there. They vex. If I don't get this alert before 8 o'clock today, nobody's working in the office. And he's doing his quiet time. He's listening to the book of Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wait till I catch the bus. Though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear any evil. But if they don't pay the salaries, they will see evil. And he's having a quiet time. The Lord is my shepherd. No. The Lord is my shepherd if the account balance is correct. If they don't pay on time, the Lord is not the shepherd. And he's praying, you know, he's reading out the Psalms, but his attitude is very far away from there. That's why we are talking about these things very seriously. Prayer is the attitude which is formed by understanding. It's formed by, I'm sure now, nobody who listens to me ever says things like, divide it. Do you say things like that? If you wanted to say it, you would rebuke yourself. Get behind me, Satan. Because these things, listen, that, oh God, let me not get sidetracked again. These are the things that are determining whether you will manifestly prosper in this life. These are the things that are determining it. That's why I said, go and listen to those messages again. The Plowman of Hope and the two messages after it or in this our series. Because a lot of people are prophesying negatively by their actions. Once God gives you small money, you send all your children abroad and you come to church for prayer meeting. In the name of Jesus. God is not listening to you anymore. I don't care how anointed you are. He has stopped listening. He's not angry. You must understand. That brother and I were talking just now. I said there are people that, because of their thoughts concerning Nigeria as a nation today, they lost 5 billion naira. You say, 5 billion? Do I have 5 billion? No, not now. You were supposed to have it in the next 10 years. And I said, they are going to break it. Yeah, sell all your land in Abuja. Sell all your land in Abuja. As you are selling it, God is not angry. In fact, you still come to church and worship. And the Holy Spirit will come and say, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just worship the Lord. The Holy Spirit will bless you. Goose pimples all over your body. You will see visions. And as we were worshiping, I was seeing visions of glory. And I see glory. Somebody said glory. At the end of the day, God said, that 5 billion, you won't get it. Are you angry? I'm not angry. If only you have kept your property there, believing that these prayers you are praying, I will answer it. I will have increased the value of that property. In the 10 years we are talking about, it will have increased to 7 billion naira in value. You will have planted houses on it that people will be fighting to give you 500 million naira a year on each one of them. But you sold it now. Worship all you want, you sold it. Why did you sell it? Break it. Cut it. Yes, you go to church. And say that this country, peace in the name of Jesus. Say, we go to your village and say, break it. I know they vex. So God is there. I'm not angry with you. No special punishment. You're going to go to heaven. If it's heaven, that's your problem. Don't worry. But on this earth, I've taken your 7 billion naira and given to your neighbor better than you. And this is the amazing thing. You will never find out. like being a very comfortable millionaire. You're happy. You drive very nice cars. But the thing is that places on this earth where you're supposed to utter your voice for the sake of righteousness, the power will have been removed from you. That is what prayer is about. You hear what I said? That is what prayer is about. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's continue studying. I said you should open somewhere, right? Luke chapter 10. Now, we read this last time. I just continued from where we stopped. It said, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 elders, and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he said to them, verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's all that's all I need from that. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, he said, it is your duty to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Don't open to this. I'll quickly read it. All right. We've read it before. Verse 37 of Ezekiel chapter 36. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock. He said, like a flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts, so will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Now, why do we read these two things? I just want to emphasize again. Anything God wants to do, he requires us to ask him to do them. Are you getting my point? It's very important. It is very, very important you get that point. What God wants to do, prayer is not about getting God to do that which he doesn't want to do. Prayer is actually about getting God to do precisely what he wants to do. You are not there persuading him to do what he does not want to do. We must understand that. It is just the thing, only the things that he desires to do that you can ask him to do and he will do. Any other thing is praying against the will of God. And that is why we study the word of God to know what God wants to do so that we'll form our prayer habits around those things that he wants to do. That is why when you want to pray, you can never open your mouth and compare somebody beside you, all right, with yourself and use that as a motivation for prayer. God says, I never told you I am going to get involved in the competition you have with your neighbor. You understand my point? Father God, you know, this is the sixth year. Ever since we got here, Namdi has broken through. Michael is doing well now. If I counted them one by one, once you start like that, the prayer point has ended. The prayer has spoiled. Because you are not praying in accordance with his will. All right? So what is prayer? Prayer is to get God to do that which he wants to do. Now, last time we began to speak about the nation. We are praying how to pray for a nation. And what are the things that God actually wants to do on the earth? What are the things that he actually wants to do? I'm emphasizing again, those things he says we should ask him to do them. It's when we ask him to do those things that he's able to do those things. Very important. So we said number one, last time we began to say, explain it from the book of John, chapter, was it 3 or 1? Which one do you read now? I think John chapter 3. He said, for God so loved the world. Let's just read that one again. The book of John chapter 3. Now, we have laid a lot of foundations. Now, I began last time to develop this. What are the things we should ask God for concerning a nation like this? Now, you know, on Saturday, I talked about the cross of Christ, and I explained the fact that Jesus was lifted up, and that is the salvation of mankind. All right? And God said to Isaiah, he said, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. That is, what God is doing is sending you and I to go and explain to the cities of Zion, behold the salvation of God. All right, let's continue reading. All right, the book of James chapter 3, let's start from verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Now, also quickly, open to the book of Romans. Let me just read a few. After that, we'll stop reading. Let me say what I want to say. The book of Romans, chapter 10. All right, let me start from Romans chapter 1. Don't open to it, just stay in Romans chapter 10. I'll open to Romans chapter 1. It said, let me start from verse 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruits among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Notice verse 16. You know this very well. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Nigerian. The Lord is good. He said, for in it, and also the Ghanaian, and also the Malawian, amen. To everybody, all right, the American. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. But the righteous man shall live or acquire life by faith. Now, let's now go to that Romans chapter 10 that we're reading. He now said that by faith they will acquire life. We read from Romans chapter 1, verse 17. In chapter 10, he now says, this is the word that we are preaching. What does that word say? Verse 8, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And that's in verse 12, for there is no distinction in this principle between Jews and Greeks. It's the same God as working. In answer in verse 14, how then would they call on him? Now I'm slowing down because this is actually what I want. How then would they call on him whom they have not believed? How would they believe in him whom they have not heard? How would they hear without a preacher? How would they preach unless they are sent? And how would they be sent except we ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field? I just added Luke chapter 10. Did you notice that? I left from there and went back to that Luke chapter 10. That this is how it works. For us to be saved, we must believe. The power of God unto salvation. And the word salvation does not just refer to I give my life to Christ or not, as a Christian, I am now saved. It means the word salvation is this. The power of God unto economic prosperity. The power of God unto healing. The power of God unto the end to suicide bombings. The power of God unto the end of all these troubles, kidnappings, armed robbery, all of that in the nation. The power of God unto the end of natural disasters. The power of God unto lack of constant power supply. You must understand the meaning of the word salvation. The power of God to solve all of this is what? The preaching of the gospel. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. So the preaching of the gospel, you see, I was saying something on Saturday. If you have not been laughed at as being stupid or being silly, you haven't fully believed or understood the gospel yourself, or you have never expressed that thing before people. It is actually a very foolish thing. And that's what I'm explaining again. It is funny for me to say, in the year 2014, power supply is not yet constant in a country like this, though it's already getting constant in Jesus' name. Amen. It is working in the name of Jesus. Amen. And because the gospel is already working in you and I, and that is why. But let's just assume it's not working yet, just to use it to explain something. They say why, and you say it's because the government officials are corrupt. That is not a lie. It is because they did not build a very big dam when they built Kanji Dam. That's not a lie. It's because we do not have enough gas power station. How come Enugu does not have coal power station? All that kind of stories. Those are the manifestations of the problem. That's not the cause of the problem. How come they have not solved this problem? It is simply because men have not believed. It sounds funny, but that's what it is. Because if they believed, do you understand? The other day I was watching, I think it was my wife and I watching TV yesterday night. And we're talking, you know, some people were riding, racing on power bikes, you know, power bikes. So we're just talking about it. So my mind, I just looked at the engine of the bike, you know, just looked at it. And I got to work, yeah, was it this afternoon also? I saw one massive generator, you know, I could see into it. I saw the arrangement of the engines. And I told myself, who told somebody to design this thing? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Who told people to improve upon those designs? I will tell you, it's a manifestation of the life of God in people. These things didn't happen by accident. These things always came forth by revelation. And the way by which we bring forth revelation into the earth is simply by primarily our faith in the gospel of Jesus. And a man, a woman who truly believes, his or her life becomes a channel through which God supplies solutions unto the earth. So when we are not experiencing solutions, it's because we have closed the channel. Now, what am I saying? The primary problem in every country, therefore, very important to understand it, the primary problem in every country is that the light of the gospel has not penetrated enough. That is the primary problem. What do we pray for a country? What is the thing that God wants to do? The primary thing he wants to do is to penetrate every corner of that nation with the light of the gospel of Jesus. And remember, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. Jesus wouldn't have said you should pray that prayer, except that he understood that the prayer was necessary for us to have the work done. That is, God wouldn't just say, okay, now the time has come for the full evangelization of every corner of Nigeria. Therefore, I'm going to send my angels. That's what he wants to do. God would, now, for God to do what he really wants to do, he says, we do what? We ask. That is the order. That is the order. So what do we pray concerning a nation like this? The primary prayer, you know, I need to explain all of this so that people will understand it. The primary prayer for any country is not about economic prosperity. The primary problem is not for good leadership. You know what people, you know, I hear all the time, the problem with Nigeria is that we don't have leaders. I keep on saying, where do they grow the leader? Where do they sell them? Maybe we can invest enough forex to buy a few leaders from some places. You know, we talk about it as if it's something we should go and look for. The people talking are the leaders. They are bad leaders too. Are you getting my point? No, listen, these things are spiritual though. The problem of Nigeria is not bad leadership. There are bad leaders in every country, and there are good leaders in every country. The question is, why do the bad leaders get to be in power? That is it. Or you think it is because we are suddenly lucky, you know what I mean? That in the last, 8 years now, we've had a lot of governors who they seem to be driven, all right, to develop their states in infrastructure. Why are you telling me they are the first people that had that kind of sense in the last 50 years? There were people who had more power than them and had more money who didn't do it. Why? It's simple. Because the spiritual climate did not allow such people to get to such places. That's how God does things. Or if some people who will have received such things were allowed into places, except the blessedness in the people commanded wisdom to come forth, it wouldn't come forth. So the primary problem in the country is not leaders. There are more than, listen, you know how many presidents you need at the time in a country? Who can guess? Who's intelligent enough to tell me? One. And believe me, I'm sure, I'm not saying that, how can you say there are 160 million people? They don't have good presidents. It's possible, all right? But I just happen to know that Nigeria has. Yes, we do. We have very good people who can run the country very well. We have very good people that won't embarrass themselves. They won't talk nonsense. They don't drink. They have purpose. Are you getting my point? They know how to arrange things. It's not just whether you are good or bad that brings you into power. It is whether the people are ready for the things that you should bring out if you are in power. That's the primary thing. That is what is primary. I want you to understand that point. Now, the whole thing is spiritual. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. The whole thing is spiritual. So the primary problem is not leaders. The primary problem is, can we even receive the good leaders if they were to come there? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. So when you want to pray for a country, number one prayer point, don't be nice about it, except you are ashamed of the gospel. A lot of people are actually ashamed of the gospel. They say, what we need now is healthcare. We don't need more churches. My brother, you need more churches. Do you hear what I say? So there are so many churches. Nothing is happening. The truth is that most of them are not churches. They are business centers. I think I should start something around here, you know? Yes. I've heard people say things like that. I'm thinking of starting something around here. And when you hear it, starting something, it's like you're opening a shop. What are you selling? Gospel. And I sit down. People come for prayer. Say, so that I can bless you. You first sow a dangerous seed. We take things that are made. No, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I've been to many churches. They are not churches. When we're talking about churches now, they are not places where people deliver the truth of the word of God. So what I'm trying to say is that we still need churches. Amen? Amen. The true ones, we need plenty. We don't have enough. Most of the things we call, most of these large buildings we see, they are centers of idolatry. Yes. The people just think that you have to come there to connect with God. That is where God is. You must show up regularly there just to come and meet with God. It's idolatry. Every building is supposed to be a place where we come to learn and to, you know, to meet together to pray. Not as if I'm going to church to pray. Do you have visitors in your house? No. Why are you going to church? So that I can be closer to God. That's idolatry. The building is not a church. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
No matter how you paint the windows, no matter the size of the cross on top of the building, there is no building that is a church. Not ever since Jesus died. There is no building that is a church. Every building is a convenient place of meeting. Since all of us can't go to your house, your sitting room is not big enough. Do you understand? All of us can't come to my house. It's not big enough. So all of us agree as Christians to have a hall where we meet regularly that can take all of us and is convenient for us. It is not more anointed than my house. That is the truth. That's why sometimes when Christians want to, when they want to raise money for church building, sometimes in churches, the kind of things they say really, really annoys me. This is the house of God. You have to build it. There are statements that don't come out from my mouth. When you say it, I don't believe you. This is the house of God. We have to take it serious. My brother, the way I'm living is the house of God. And if that's the principle, I should even give you one cover. Yes, because you use the money. Because if it is the house of God, and the real house of God is my temple, so my body, you understand? So I should go and eat properly. Take that money, eat. So stay healthy. Buy myself good gym equipment in the house so I can, jog, you know. So that you say, what are you doing? I'm taking care of the house of God. So don't come and fool me. You say, how can we stay here and the roof of the house of God is rotten? The roof of the house of God is not rotten. It just came from the barbers. I don't know whether you get it. This is my head. This is the roof of the house of God. If just say the way it is, brethren, this is where we meet, too. I don't think it's good for while we are having meeting for rain to fall. We'll talk to ourselves and the rain falls and we are getting wet. Please, we have to do this. Everybody has to do it. Don't come and harass me with the house of God because it is not the house of God. You, my friend, is the house of God. Me, I'm the house of God. All of us together are the house of God. When we join together, we are the house of God. Now, these are the truths that people must understand. Why am I saying all of this? Do we need more churches? In reality, in Nigeria, we do. We need less business centers. We need fewer idol centers. Are you getting my point? Real churches, yes, we do need plenty. What is a real church? It's a place where people go to be fed with the word of God. It is a place from which the word of God is coming out to affect the environment around. Yes, we need it. Let nobody lie to you that with all the people going to church in Nigeria, the country is not safe. They are not going to church. If they are really going to church, if people are really going, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
In reality, forget. With this volume of going that we do, the country will change by force. Because we just stand and say, count 10 righteous people. The angel will just come back immediately. God said, you don't count, finish. He said, before I came out, the first person I met, it was 10 righteous people. Only him. The righteousness in him was 10 times. So after I counted 10 people, the amount of righteousness was so strong, I couldn't count anymore. I began to kill devils. That was the angel. I'm telling you. What I've said is a matter of fact, not a joke. So what do we pray concerning the country? The first prayer point, we must never forget it, because that is the fundamental thing. We must pray that you pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field.